Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome to our time of prayer and scripture together. Pro-life leader Frank Pavone here of Priests for Life. Glad you could join us, and please continue to invite others to join us. Our online audience keeps growing, and it's thanks to you. Let's put ourselves in the presence of God and ask Him to help us understand His Word more deeply, live it more faithfully, and proclaim it more effectively. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord God, we continue to celebrate Easter. We continue to rejoice in the truth of the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ and the preaching of that resurrection for the repentance of sins. Lord God, enable everyone to know that Christ is risen and that therefore His teachings can be relied on, must be believed, and that the forgiveness of sins is a reality of which we can take hold each day. That coming into union with Christ means rejecting what is contrary to Christ. And give us repentance of our sins. Give us forgiveness of the sins for which we repent. And may we be a stimulus to others to lead them to repentance by our words, by our example, by your grace that we bring them to. We ask this through the one who died and rose again, Christ Jesus our Lord. A reading from the Gospel of Luke. The disciples of Jesus recounted what had taken place along the way and how they had come to recognize Him in the breaking of bread. While they were still speaking about this, He stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. Then He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you can see I have." And as He said this, He showed them His hands and His feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, He asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave Him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and Psalms must be fulfilled." Then He opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And He said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in His name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." Jesus Christ gave scripture lessons on the first Easter Sunday, showing His followers that the events of those days, the darkness of Good Friday, the silence of Holy Saturday, the glorious resurrection of Easter Sunday, had been foretold from the beginning of Scripture. Everything written about me, He says, in the law of Moses. Well, we're talking about the first five books of the Bible. In the prophets, so much of the Old Testament, the writings of the prophets. In the Psalms. We discussed yesterday some of the specific scriptures that Jesus would have been referring to here, on both on the road to Emmaus as He explained the scriptures and the disciples' hearts were burning within them, and then here in the upper room that evening as He again opened their minds to the scriptures. And brothers and sisters, all of this was in preparation for this resurrection, which, as the readings tell us today, was a physical resurrection. And this is crucial. You know, I heard some preacher on TV the other day, it was on Easter, talking about how, well, you know, it's not so much the resurrection or what happened to Jesus as that the courage of the of the early church was resurrected. No, it's about the physical body of Christ being raised. This is physical. It's about the same body that carried the cross and was nailed on it, walking around again, the same heart that was pierced by the lance and emptied of the last drop of its blood, beating again, the lungs that breathed forth his spirit on the cross, breathing again, the muscles that were exhausted from carrying the cross and hanging on it. We're strong again. This is a physical resurrection. Why is that so important? Because you and I are physical. Why is it so important that we see the body of Christ walking around, that they touched him at his invitation, that they saw him eat a piece of fish? Why is this so important? Because this took place for us. Of course it's important because this body that each of us is, along with our soul, needs redemption, needs salvation, needs its own resurrection. How can we have hope for our own resurrection if the resurrection of Jesus wasn't the actual physical resurrection of a human body? Because if it weren't, how is this human body redeemed? How are we saved from corruption? The body corrupts in the grave. We need the hope that we will rise again. See me, touch me, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you can see I have. You see, we have to appropriate that verse to ourselves and say, a ghost does not have flesh and bones as I have. Therefore, I can't be redeemed by a ghost. But if the one who is risen from the dead is a human body, human flesh now come out of the tomb, human bones now risen from the grave, then I have the solid hope. I have the evidence. I have the basis for faith that these human bones and flesh will rise from the grave. Physical resurrection. The reverence, the importance of the human body. So often lost in an age today where we're repeating the heresies of dualism that say, oh, well, you know, make too much separation, in other words, between the soul and the body, the spirit and the physical. No, the physical is just as much a part of the person, just as sacred in human life, the physical is, as is the spiritual. That's why, as I've often said, in the pro-life battle, in the war against abortion, we can't over-spiritualize it and say, oh, well, we're just trying to convert the souls and heal the hearts of the women who are getting abortions. It's not so much about saving the babies. Yes, it is about saving the babies. Because when their bodies are torn apart by those abortionist instruments, that's an assault on human dignity. That's an assault on the rights of the Creator as well. It is that body that needs to be saved. It is our bodies, too, that need to be saved. And we have the hope of that salvation right here, Easter night. Touch me, Jesus said. The other key lesson here, he sits down with them, he tells them all the scriptures were fulfilled, and then he says, what has to happen next? Repentance has to be preached. Notice, thus it is written, Christ would suffer, rise from the dead. Here we have the fulfillment. Then what happens next? He doesn't say, oh, well, resurrection is to be preached. Oh, well, acceptance is to be preached to all the nations. Tell everybody God loves them just the way they are. Is that what he said? Is that what has to be preached? Go and preach acceptance. Churches that preach acceptance without telling people that there are things about their lives that they have to change in order to come to the church, aren't following this clear instruction of the risen Christ, that what is to be preached in his name is repentance. We see it in the Acts of the Apostles, the first reading proclaimed today as well, when Peter and John are preaching after the resurrection, after Pentecost, and saying that all this miracle of them having healed a crippled man is through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The people see it. It's an undeniable miracle. They talk to them about the same thing Jesus said. The scriptures have been fulfilled here in the events of these days. And then it comes to the same question. So what next? What next? And Peter and John are clear. Peter says, repent, therefore. In other words, seeing that Jesus Christ died for your sins according to the preordained plan of God, therefore, meet him with the repentance of your sins. If he died for your sins, the least you can do is reject your sins. Repent, therefore, and be converted, he says, that your sins might be wiped away. Because your sins can be wiped away because of the blood shed on that cross. If the blood was shed on the cross, but then you don't repent of your sins, you can't connect with the salvation that was won for you on Calvary. Repentance for the forgiveness of sins is to be preached. All those who preach must preach repentance. Preach it with hope. Preach it as a joyful message of freedom, that we're no longer to be slaves to sin. Preach it as an aspect of love. The fact the gift of repentance is a sign of God's love. He loves us so much. He doesn't want us to be left in our sins, otherwise we'll be destroyed by them. What does love mean? You're going to preach repentance because you want the people you're preaching to be freed from those sins and from the death that is a result of those sins. This is the victory of life, brothers and sisters. But not the victory of life in the abstract. The victory of life physically in the human flesh and bones of Jesus. Victory of life because of victory of sin. Victory over sin, repentance from sin. This is the message preached for Easter. May we receive it. May we proclaim it. May we experience the freedom that it brings. Amen. Father, we turn to you again with intercession for all those who have received this forgiveness of sins for the first time by being baptized into the church this Easter. We praise you for them. We praise you for the others who, having already been baptized, were received into the church. And we praise you, Lord God, for all the rest of the faithful who have renewed now at Easter the vows of our baptism, publicly rejecting sin and Satan, publicly professing faith in you, O God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We intercede for one another in all the needs that are both expressed and also held within our hearts. Show your love for us. Show your constant care in the answering of these prayers and the provision of these needs. We sum up all our prayers and praises now in offering the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Thanks for joining me, friends. Again, invite other people to come in. We will continue to celebrate Easter with great joy. Let it fortify our pro-life efforts and all the efforts we make to advance the kingdom of God. We're all praying for you here at Priests for Life. Thank you for your prayers. We'll be in touch soon.
Hello, this is Abby Johnson of Unplanned the Movie. You know me as a longtime supporter of Priests for Life and of Father Frank Pavone. And I just want to encourage you, as someone who knows of the great work of this organization, please continue to stand strong. Please continue to support this mission. It is so needed now more than ever. Thank you so much for all of your support.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.